That's what I'm stressing on this point. Where is book? Where is book? Where is book? So kindly help me. This is my request.
Here's Communications 101. This will include some ways, general principles when you're dealing with people in public or elsewhere that will help you in keeping your communications so that you can sell more books. So there's some principles and techniques. First of this, remember to whom you are speaking. So when we are meeting people, we have to remember who we're talking to. This body is a walking temple. Look around and see some walking temples, sitting temples. This is called tabernacle. In the Judeo-Christian tradition, there is a moving church, moving temple. It's called a tabernacle. The essence of the divine deity is kept and they move it around. And Prabhupada refers to these bodies as tabernacles, these are moving temples. So you have to remember who we're dealing with. This is the first way of approaching this art of book distribution, is to stay in this consciousness that you're dealing with soul and super soul within the body. So remember with whom you're speaking. When you forget and you start thinking, I'm talking to man and woman, you become affected by the external thing. This person's sad, this person's man, this person's a woman, this person's attractive, this person's not attractive, and so forth. Remember the soul and speak to the soul. When you're going out, remember that you talk directly to the soul. Cut out the middleman and just go for the soul. So Sri Upanishad gives us this advice, which you all know. Yes, tu sarvani bhutani atmani vana pashyati. Yes, min sarvani bhutani atmani vana rupi janataha tatra ko mahakasha ta eka pamara pashyata. Now everyone read the translation together.
That the highest method of doing worship to the Lord is taking austerity on yourself to go out and help the souls. So you remember this, keep that in heart, in mind. And when you speak, speak from your heart. Don't do mechanically, but actually speak something that you're really feeling, your realization from your heart. Try to connect with people. And in this endeavor, purity is the force. So the first law of book distribution, which we're not going to go into tonight, there's four laws of book distribution. And the first is that your sadhana must be strong. That means that strict, serious, and sincere. What are the three elements of strong sadhana?
Strict, serious, and sincere.
Now say it backwards. And backwards. Say it all together,
man.
Yeah, right. Okay, so all of these, this strict, serious, and sincere sadhana, the practice, means you have to chant really good rounds. Your rounds have to be the focal point of your day. That when you chant japa, you have to think what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, nam bina kichana hipo ara chodha bhuvana maje. There's nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds. Because the mind's going shopping, the mind's going everywhere trying to find something. You have to think, there's nowhere else to go. Only here, everything's in the holy name. And you also have to hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day hear the Bhagavatam. Because by that process, naturally Krishna will sit within your heart. And there are many other processes of devotional service, but the basics you have to cover every day in a very strong way. Don't be afraid to be strict, serious, and sincere. Be fully present for all practices that you do. That's where the purity comes from. That's where the force for book distribution comes from. It's not a technique. It's a matter of purity of heart. And when you're pure in heart, Krishna will give you intelligence. And you also have a way that you can really touch people when you go out to meet them. So, really quick, reflect back to me what we've talked about since from the beginning so far. Help, give me 3 points that we've mentioned so far. Yes? Very good, very good. What else? There's some more right next to you. Yeah?
Speak from your heart.
Yes, speak from your heart. Very good.
We have to stay sincere and serious.
Very good, yes.
The meeting is here.
Give the mic, it's being recorded.
In the beginning you started with prayers are the most important thing for...
Yeah, you have to sing these prayers. You learn these ashtakams. The Shad Goswami ashtakam you should do regularly because it gives you power in spiritual life. You're connecting with these Goswamis, they'll help you, yes.
Mr. Krishna's 7th verse says that we should see everybody as spiritual souls. With that moment we should go for the distinction.
Exactly, and it's not an artificial thing. Because Prabhupada warns against that at the beginning, but the word is anupashiti. You have to follow the shastra, you have to follow the acharyas, and in that way, anupashiti, see by following. So it's not artificial, it's not that we pretend to be uttama adhikaris, but we actually follow the shastra, and we remember when we see people that, and animals, everything, that Krishna is there, we're dealing with the soul, and it's a very important job. It's the most important work of the universe. It's what the creation was made for. Yes? Make chanting your main focus. Very good. Excellent. If you do that for the rest of your life, you make that your main focus, then Krishna will personally take you by the hand after God. Yes? That's right. Yes, that's right. You know who Prabhupada told that to particularly? His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Because Gopal Krishna Maharaj was always innovating from the very beginning to see how to distribute books. He has that natural desire to please Prabhupada by distributing books. He does it everywhere he goes. So he, in the very beginning, back in the 70s, he set up books in a bookstore in Delhi. And it was a very nice display. And he was very excited about it. He came back after a month and the bookstore owner said, we didn't sell very much. He was very disappointed. And he went to Prabhupada and he said, we made a nice display, everything, Prabhupada, but the books didn't sell. And Prabhupada said, that is because these books are sold by the enthusiasm of my devotees. It's by enthusiasm. Good.
I have a little glass of water, please.
Okay, so Saffron Mercy Particles, you all know the verse from the fourth canto. The Prithu Maharaj says, when a pure devotee speaks, the sound vibration touches Krishna's lotus feet, it dislodges the saffron particles there. And therefore the sound vibration is different. And in an opposite way, the Shastra says that a Vaishnava Makum Gyanram Putram Harikatam Ritam Sharanam Naiva Kartav Yam Sarvachishta Ayoyata. That you shouldn't hear from a non-Vaishnava because the sound vibration is contaminated. That doesn't mean we can't listen to people. It just means that when you purify yourself, you'll have a different effect on people. And so you have to remember, book distribution is a spiritual activity. It's not a sales technique. It's part of the internal energy, and the more you purify yourself through sadhana and by being very strict, serious, and sincere, you'll have this quality when you speak, people will be more effective. That's why some distributors are more effective than others, and that some have longevity. They can keep going for a long time and do this for their whole life, which is a good idea. Okay, so there are austerities of speech. What are they?
Madhyam Dhyayana Sanchayana Madhyam Dhyayana Sanchayana Madhyam Dhyayana Sanchayana
Very good. Okay, truthful, pleasing, beneficial, non-agitating, regularly reciting the Vedas. Now, here's a point of great importance, and that is that when you're talking to people, you have to remember what they're most interested in. What are people most in, what's the most interesting topic to every living being? This is a quiz. What's the most interesting topic? His or her own self. They want to know about themselves. Dale Carnegie, who is a famous motivational speaker and writer, said, remembering that a man's name is to him the sweetest and most important sound in any language. I'm talking about in a practical way now. When you go out and meet people, if you want to like connect with them, because what I just spoke about before was a little esoteric, you know, and but it is the base of everything. It's the first law of distribution. Now in the practical realm, when we start talking to people, what you have to remember, you go out and start talking about Bhagavad Gita and things like that. They may not be interested. They may be caught up in other things. Some people might be. But really what people want to know about is themselves. Here's another quote. Shukadeva Goswami from the 10th canto. It is his own self that is most dear to every embodied being. So there's an old, and he goes on, it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation is moving, the whole creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. That's why the material world goes on. Everyone wants something for themselves. So, there's an old technique for learning how to approach people in a proper way. I want you to imagine that these words, these four words, we make them into a little sign that you can hang around your neck. Can you see it? You look around the room, you see everyone's got a sign on their neck that says, make me feel special. Now look around and you imagine everyone in Pune has this sign around their neck. Okay? Now, when you approach people, that's all you have to do. This is the way that you approach people. You see that sign, say, make me feel special. All right, turn to somebody in the room, try to make them feel special. Turn to the person next to you, try to make them feel special. Go, come on. Go. Move. Talk to somebody next to you, find somebody in the room, make them feel special. Come here, Chandra Marge, I like your hat. Mataji, you're being very attentive, very good, very nice. You devotees, I can tell you're very intelligent. I like the way that you're remembering all the shlokas. Did you make somebody feel important, intelligent, special? Did you do it? Raise your hand if you did it. Raise your hand if you made somebody feel special. Raise your hand. All right. How did that feel? Did you like it or not? Everyone's smiling. It's fun, right? So really, when I go out, I'm looking to make friends with people. I see people walking along. I find something that's nice about it, something that's special. I just notice it. It's like, hey, I like your hat. I like the, where'd you get those shoes? Hey, nice shirt. What's that necklace made out of? That's an amazing necklace. Hey, where'd you get that dog? What kind of dog you got there? You know Prabhupada said this over and over again. Love me, love my dog, right? It's true. If I'm going walking in the neighborhood somewhere and somebody's walking a dog and I talk and I don't know the person and I start talking to them, they'll think I'm weird. But if I go up and I say, hey, where'd you get that dog? That's the most beautiful dog I've ever seen. They're going to love me. So when people get dressed in the morning, they're putting on a shirt, they're putting on whatever they put on because they want to be noticed. So that's all it takes, really, to make people feel special. You remember they have that sign around their neck. So when you go out into public, or when you're inside the ashram, wherever you are, remember to notice people. And I'll tell you, most people don't interact in the world. They don't notice other people. And if you do it, you'll really stand out. People really appreciate you. They'll think, this person knows what's really going on in the world because they've noticed me and I'm special. The other thing, this is another basic principle, that is to listen. Listen. I read a book once called How to Win an Argument. And in the book, this person is an excellent debater. And he said one of the main problems in debate is that people don't listen. They don't even know what they're arguing about because they don't listen to the other side. They're just thinking inside their head what they're going to say, but they don't listen to the other person. So listen means to be alert and ready to hear something. And you have to be very attentive when you're talking to people. Don't talk over them, but listen to what they're saying, because you're trying to relate the book to them, not according to your realization, according to what they're interested in. So listen to hear what they have to say. So as an example, sometimes I'll hand a book to somebody and they'll say, oh, I'm a Buddhist. And then I change my approach. Or if somebody says, I'm a Muslim, then I talk to them a little differently because I'm listening. What is their particular station in life? What are they interested in? So sometimes I hand a book over to somebody and they'll hand it back. They'll say, sorry, I'm a Muslim. And they go, oh, you're a Muslim? I'm sorry, here, this one. I'll give you this one. This one's for you. And I give the other one. They say, Allah's within everyone's heart. Purpose of life is to wake up love for Allah. Allah. Okay. Here's the three words that block all learning. I know that. I already know that. And the radio station everyone's tuned into, this is the same point, but making it over and over again. Everyone's on a frequency. That frequency is what's in it for me. They want to know what they get from what you're handing them. So I'll give you an example of how I bring that out in the very beginning when I'm presenting a book. So first of all, there's a couple ways in which I'll tell you, just walking around in the world, how I would stop somebody and hand them a book and get them interested, okay? So first of all, what I'm looking for is the ripe fruits. It's not a matter of convincing, it's a matter of selecting. It's not a matter of convincing, it's a matter of? It's not a matter of convincing, it's a matter of? Now you say it.
It's not a matter of convincing.
Yeah, that's the easy way to do book distribution. You go out and you look for the ripe fruits. So when you're looking on a tree, you look for the ripe fruits, right? And you do they look different than the non-ripe fruits?
Yes.
Yeah. And do they feel different?
Yes.
Are they easier to take off the vine?
Yes.
Yeah. So in the same way, there are people that are more ready than others. When you become more expert, as you practice more, you can convince people more. But in the beginning, you take this approach. Select, select, select. Don't try to convince, convince, convince. There's a little convincing, but if you select the right people to start with, I'll teach you one way that I select people from a distance, and I can know whether they're right or not right. Hold up your hand like this. You have mystic power that comes out of your hand. Everyone hold up your hand. Now point your hand, the palm of your hand, there's a ray that's going to come out of here. And it's going to bounce off the person when I give you the mantra. And then you're going to be able to tell by looking at them whether they're a ripe fruit or not. Madhava, put up your hand. Mataji, put up your hand. There's a power that comes out of your hand. Now point it not all at me, I can't handle all this energy. Point it at somebody else. Okay, when I say the mantra, you say it and it'll activate, okay? He's got two hands up. This is called Utsahan. He's going to do big in the marathon. Put two hands up. I like that. That's good. Okay, get ready. Here comes the mantra. Hi!
Hi!
Now look around. Did you feel the energy? See, when you say that, when you hold up your hand, this is miraculous. It actually, there's something that touches the other soul and it comes back to you in the form of, you'll be able to read what's in their countenance. Countenance means their overall look. Mostly it's in their eyes, but it's also in their face as well. So if I come to somebody and say, hi, some people will ignore me completely. They'll act like I don't even exist. Other people will maybe shake their head. In Japan, they go like this. They're not interested. They cover their eyes, which is very telling, because the eyes are the window of the soul. It's hard to look at people's eyes, isn't it? Like, people don't want to look at it because there's actually consciousness radiating from their eyes. So when you say hi to somebody, there's there's an interaction soul to soul. You're hitting them with some energy, albeit subtle, but it comes back to you, and you'll look. It's just like a radar gun that police have. When your car is coming down the road, they point it at you, they hit the car, it comes back and it reads on a meter. And then they say how fast you're going. So you're going too fast. And this person's going this speed. So, say if I'm on any street corner in Pune, right? People walking by, I'll say, hi, hi. And I'll look right at them. Some people look away, they won't even notice me. Other people look and they'll smile. Like, yeah. And then some people just, they'll say hi back. Now, you can judge then how open the person is. And the next thing I would do would shake hands with people. In America, we do these. Have you seen this? Come on. Have you ever seen that? Okay. Well, now you have. If you had before, this is American handshake. But you can shake hands in any way you want. But one thing is, from doing this radar, you can tell where people are at. You can kind of get a reading where they're at. And then you pick out the ones. Now, once you get their attention, you can notice something special about them. A lot of people wear logos on their shirt. What kind of logos do they wear? IIT. Company logo. What company?
Microsoft.
Okay, so, hi. And then guys looks over at you, smiles at you, and you go, all right, Microsoft. I like your shirt. Notice, remember, make me feel special. I notice something about them. So now I'm making a connection before I charge at them with a book in my hand, which telegraphs all the way down the street, this person's going to try to sell me a book. I make a conscious connection with them. Hi. And then it's basically notice something special about them. And then the next thing I'll do is ask them a question. And I'll get into that in a minute, how powerful questions are. The question mark is the most powerful punctuation mark in any language. Because those who are asking the questions are leading the conversation. Those who are asking the questions are?
Leading the conversation.
So if I want to lead the conversation, what do I use? A question. So, I'd ask them a question, and it's a qualifying question. One easy question to ask people, I would say, I'm from San Francisco, where are you from? It's not a yes or no question, I'm asking them where they're from. So, where are you from? Pune, fantastic. And now I'll show you one. Because you're from Pune, I'm going to show you one of these. Where are you from? Okay, who's not from Pune? Where are you from? From Mumbai? Great, we'll show you one. Wherever they're from, they just qualified them. You found something special about them, now you ask them a question. Where are you from? You tell where you're from first, then you ask where they're from, then they say, then you say, perfect, I'm going to show you one. Now they're qualified. Now when I hand it over, passing the book over to them, I tell them what's in it for them, because that's the radio station. They want to know, what am I going to get out of this? So, when I hand over a Bhagavad Gita, can I have a Bhagavad Gita? Is it possible? I hand over the Bhagavad Gita and I say, these are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. And I'm telling them what's in it for them. They're going to get free from stress from reading this book. Then I ask them another question. I say, you've heard of stress before, right? Have you heard of stress?
Yes.
Yes. But you don't look stressed at all. You look all peaceful and happy at all. And then comes my next question. And I'm going to give you this, if you don't remember anything else from this short class today, remember this, because this is the most powerful mantra you can take with you on book distribution. Are you ready?
Yes.
Can you handle this?
Yes.
I'm not convinced. Yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay. The question is, what's your secret? Everyone's saying, what's your secret? So, when I give the person the Bhagavad Gita, I hand out books on yoga and meditation, shows you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right?
Yes.
But your eyes look so peaceful. You look spiritual. What's your secret?
Yoga.
Does yoga. I knew you were into this. Fantastic. Then I take the book back and I start showing it to them. After I hand it over, I take it right back. So he told me, give him a hand. That was a very good piece of music. Come on. Give it up now. Give him more. Yeah. So, When you ask people, what's your secret, it changes your relationship with them. Because when you're on the street presenting books, people are thinking, this person is trying to convert me to something. I don't want to be converted, I'm fine. I have everything I need, I'm smart, I have a family, I have money, everything's okay. Or even if I don't have money, I still don't want to change, because I'm a conditioned soul and that's what I do, I stay in the material world. But when you ask somebody, what's your secret? You change the relationship. Now you're their disciple and they're your teacher. And that they can live with for a little while. That they can live with. You ask them, what's their secret? And they'll say, well, I don't know. A couple weeks ago, I was in San Diego and I was on the street and I met this man. And he was a little bit not that interested, but just being polite. And then I asked him, what's your secret? So I said, I noticed it's like your eyes look spiritual. You look like a spiritual person. Like, what's your secret? And immediately he started telling me all about his life. Well, I got two kids, and you know they're both in graduate school now. He was very proud of his kids. He started telling everything about himself. And we became instant friends because I asked him that question. What's your secret?
What's your secret?
That's the mantra. What's your secret? You ask people that, you practice that tomorrow. You go up to somebody anywhere here in Eco Village and just sit down and say, what's your secret? And then they'll start thinking, this is the smartest person I ever met in my life. Because they actually understand that I'm an elevated person. I have something to tell. I have a secret to tell. Now some people are a little lazy. You ask them, what's your secret? They say, I don't know. Then you tell them. You say, you come from a good family, right? They go, nah. And then you say, you must just be a natural. And they go, oh, all right, that's good enough. Okay, what's your secret? Okay, now here's another aspect of communication. And that is, a sale philosophy is not people. Prabhupada taught this to his disciples when they first came to India, because people would come up and they would say, Mr. Sanjay would say, what do you think of Swami such and such? And if you start talking about Swami such and such, they'll get all offended because they like Swami such and such. So instead of doing that, you ask them, what's his philosophy? You ask what the philosophy is. Don't ask about the person and don't talk about the person. Just ask, what's he talking about? What's his philosophy? And then you can compare it to the Bhagavad Gita. That way you don't offend people and you can start helping them to take the Bhagavad Gita as it is rather than the other nonsense that they're reading. Now here's something that will save you a lot of time and energy. Would you like to be saved a lot of time and energy in your life?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to teach you this one thing and then we're going to take some reflections. Hey, first, here's the definition of a fanatic. A fanatic is a person filled with excessive and single-minded zeal, especially for an extreme religious or political cause. Have any of you ever met a fanatic? Are there fanatics walking around Pune? Sometimes? Do you meet them sometimes? What kind of fanatics do you meet? What are they into? In America, we have Christians. Not all of them are fanatics, but they'll, as soon as you approach them, they'll start telling you that there's only one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get anything like that in this country? Yeah, what do you get? Use the mic. Yes,
sir. I am a person who is a fanatic follower of Lord Shiva.
There you go. Fanatic follower of Lord Shiva. Fanatic means they're closed down. They're not interested in anything you have to say. They have their own opinion already and they want to force it on you right away. You can start picking up that energy, right? So here's the principle for dealing with fanatics. Are you ready? Just don't deal with them. You're Madhyama Adhikaris. You're moving around the world. Ishvare Taradineshu Balisheshu Yusatsucha. Prema Maitri Kupopeksha Yakaroti Samadhyama. The Madhyama is looking for the right fruits. You leave the fanatics and the envious people alone. Let them fight amongst themselves. You go look for the innocent people and let these people alone. Okay? Freddy Fanatic. Do you know that such and such is the only way to salvation? Devotee, here's how I get away from the fanatic. If there were more people of faith like you in the world would be a better place to live. Thank you very much. Goodbye. So instead of resisting them, instead of arguing with them, say, no, I'll tell you what it is, because a fanatic, that's where you get caught, and you'll be on the street corner for the next 20 minutes wasting your time arguing. So I just praise them. I say, we need more people like you. You have faith. You're keeping the world alive. And they do. They're Kanishas. But just thank them for being who they are, and then leave them alone and walk away. Okay? All right, take some reflections. Any other things you heard so far that stuck in your mind that you're taking with you? Let's hear some reflections. Yes.
Sometimes we are in a bus or a train, and some fanatics, they tell that you worship these gods, you worship this Mahos and all, Ganesh, this Mahan and Mahos and all, they tell something in public. So in public we cannot just avoid them because others are also listening. So is it okay to refute them?
Yes. If you're in public, you keep your stature and you can answer for the benefit of the public. That's your duty. You have to answer so that people don't become bewildered. And you give. But if you find it escalating and becoming just a huge argument, people aren't going to like that either. Because nowadays people don't like sectarianism, they don't like people fighting. And half the people are uneducated, most of the people are uneducated about spiritual life. So they'll just think you're arguing and that everyone's right, so it doesn't matter what position you have. But yes, if there are innocent people around who are hearing you being wrongly considered, then you can defend your philosophy, yes.
Guruji, this is about being selective, because sometimes what I have experienced that sometimes we see the people, we feel very interested, but when they approach, they are completely closed. But sometimes the people who are not interested, whom they are not sure, they come forward and they take. So how to make it more perfect so that we can select and have it?
Well, one thing is, I'm speaking about when I'm moving around in public. And if I'm making a conscious connection with people first. So I can have a sense of whether they're open for me to even approach them. That's why I use this to start with. However, after that, the mind may still say, this person's qualified, that person's unqualified. Because a lot of times, in the mental world, we make all kinds of judgments about this person will take. Like you might see a Muslim, and you think he'll never take a book. But all the time we meet Muslims, they'll take the book, and they end up being very, like, favorable. And, like, I'll give you an example. I was going door-to-door in Southern California. And I went up and I knocked on the door as a Gujarati family. And they were so closed-minded. I showed them Bhagavatam, trying to sell Bhagavatam sets door-to-door. And they said that the woman in the house was saying, oh, I know this from my childhood, these are just stories. And they were very, like, uninterested, wouldn't give a donation, nothing. So then I went to the next door, and there were these three Muslim students from Jordan. And they invited me in. I'm wearing a dhoti, too. They invited me in, sat down, and started telling about Bhagavad Gita, and all three of them bought a Bhagavad Gita. And they wanted me to stay and talk and stuff like that. I had to move on and do more book distribution, but you know, it's just like this contrast. The mind picks and chooses and things like that. So we don't judge, but we're looking for the opening can be anywhere. Did that answer your question, or do you want to ask me again?
Question.
What's that?
Question.
Hold that right closer. It's a hand.
It is very clear, though.
It's clear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. By experience,
yeah. Yeah, by experience, that super soul starts to kind of give you a little indication. You know, sometimes you feel it. Any other reflections? Things you heard this stuff? Yes.
It's one point I like that consciousness is related to eyes.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes we don't want to look at people's eyes because we feel that our consciousness may get contaminated or maybe some thought or impressions come about the people. So it's a great art how to look at people's eyes, how to make eye contact proper.
Well, basically, when we're out giving Krishna consciousness, we don't become contaminated. Of course, you know, a man would not want to look into a woman's eye and vice versa, because that's how powerful the vision thing is. That's there. But we asked Prabhupada years ago about being in public and becoming contaminated. Because somebody started a rumor, because we shake hands with people in the public, you know, how are you doing? And someone started a rumor that we were taking people's karma from doing that. So someone took to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, when you're preaching like that, you're not taking anything wrong. You're giving to them, you're not taking from them. My experience over many years, you have to keep focused while you're on Sankirtan. And the best way to do that is to keep the Maha Mantra going all the time. Because you can become distracted. You're out for hours going around, you're meeting people, there's cars going by, you're looking at people's eyes and so forth. But if you keep the mantra going, either silently or in between people, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, how can you be contaminated? And also you'll be off the mental platform because you keep praying to Krishna and remembering, I'm not the doer, Krishna's the doer. Right? Yes?
Who's telling hi to the people and shaking their hands? It is okay in the West, but in India, being in a dhoti kurta, like being a monk, how we can do it?
Namaskar. Namaskar. I do this in India all the time, Namaskar. And then people like to, because it's different, because I'm a Westerner, they react to me differently. But you have to find, I'll just say it like this, you have to make a conscious connection with people. And you find your own way according to the culture. In America, you know, if I'm in New York City, and I saw people, one of these things, it really connects with people, it holds them. In India, it'll be a different thing. When I go to Vietnamese neighborhoods sometimes, they're Buddhists. I go shop to shop. And when I go in their shop, you know, first I bow. Before, I'm very respectful. When I walk in, I bow. And it's different for them. So every culture has their way. And that's part of the great art of book distribution, is you have to figure out the culture part and then apply it. Let's see if I have anything more for you here, because we're running out of time. Here's some techniques. One thing is to be a master asker. Be a what? Yes, because questions are the answer. When you ask questions, here are some of the questions I ask all the time. I'll say, when I'm talking to people, I say, San Francisco, I'm from San Francisco, so I'll say, San Francisco, where are you from? San Francisco, where are you from? So that I get their answer. Other thing, what's your secret? I taught you that one. Another one is, how do you mean that? This is a good question. When people ask you something that's very difficult to answer, or if you answer it, you're going to be wrong either way. So don't answer it. Answer a question with a question when you don't want to answer the question that they're asking you. And one of the best questions, a generic question that you can ask people, is how do you mean that? Everyone say it.
How do you mean that?
Yeah, because it forces them, it puts it back in their court. It's like, look at a question mark. It's like a hook, it pulls people in. It's like a tennis racket, it puts the ball back in their court. So people ask you a question, like say, are you a Hindu? I mean, nobody can answer that, because no one knows what a Hindu is. And so, like, how do you mean that? Then they have to kind of like, well, I don't know. It's like, they'll redefine it. You keep asking until you get the thing that you can actually answer. So it's a communication skill, and you can use that all the time. Another one, what does it mean to you? That's something I use when I'm presenting the Bhagavad Gita. I'll say, you've heard of karma, right? And they'll say, yeah. I say, what does it mean to you? I keep asking them questions. Because they'll say, oh, karma means what goes around comes around. Things like that. What do you do professionally? I ask people, how many languages do you speak? These are just samples of questions, some of the most important ones I taught you already. questions catch people, and it's like a tennis racket. It's also like a looking glass because it clarifies. So become master asker. Look at Prabhupada, woman reported. Why do you people shave your heads? Prabhupada. Why do you shave your legs? He answers a question with a question. Student guest, why are most of your followers young people? Srila Prabhupada, why are most university students young people? He answers a question with a question. Student guest, because that's the age of education. Prabhupada, that's also the age of Krishna consciousness. If Prabhupada had tried to answer the first question, he might have got in a quagmire, but he asked him and got something he can hit. He's waiting for a pitch he can hit, right? Professor, why do you give sannyas to young people? Prabhupada, what do you mean by young? Right? Silence. Srila Prabhupada, young means about to die. Can you say you're any older or younger than they are? So you can see this art of asking questions. You don't want to do it in an annoying way, but you can do it in a very strategic way so that you can actually, you know, people ask you things that they're not even sure of themselves. And if you try to answer a question that's unclear, you're going to give an unclear answer, and it's going to slow you down. Okay. When confused, answer a question with a question. Another thing is use compliments. Sincere compliments go a long way. Sanatana Goswami told the jailkeeper, oh, you're a great scholar. That was a good one, huh? The other thing is catch people doing something right and appreciate it and encourage the heck out of people. So there's more to go in this, but we just the stuff that we've talked about so far is, you know, any one of those things, when you start utilizing it and employing it, will go a long way. This book distribution that you're doing is vitally important. It's not just a sentimental thing because we like Bhagavad Gita that you know, we go out and sell it. It's strategic. Books are containers. They contain seeds of ideas. And they, when they go out into the world, they actually affect change. Many examples of this. For instance, people nowadays, all over the world, they accept evolution as a viable philosophy. And the reason they do is because somebody wrote a book about it many years ago called Origin of the Species. Have you seen that book around lately? Origin of the Species by Charles Darwin? I mean, it's hard to find. Nobody's reading it, but everyone believes in evolution. Why? Because that book got out into society and people read it. Books change the world. Writing changes the world. When you take time to write something down and put it into a book, it actually affects change in society. And when you distribute it in mass quantity, it will have its effect. And when you distribute Bhagavad Gita, it always has its effect because it's transcendental. When people come in contact with it, it has its effect. We have many anecdotal pieces of evidence for that all over the world. We meet people all the time that say they got a book, they touched it, they weren't interested, they came back a year later. Some come back 20 years later. It's up to Krishna. We have to do our part on the front end and make sure the books go out. Another point is that Srila Prabhupada emphasized this. He emphasized it so much that distributing books was very important. And he liked it. The reason he did, because his spiritual master did. He got it from his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who told him straight up. He said, this is the program, print books. I'm not so much into building things, because they come and go, but print books and distribute them. It's the greatest welfare work in society, and it's the best kind of preaching. So remember this, that you're following a legacy. It comes all the way from Brahma. If you look at the picture of Brahma on the Brahma Samhita, he's holding a book in his hand. And if you look at every acharya in our line, you'll find that they're sitting with their literature. We're into books in our line. This is what we do. And we have a window of opportunity right now that is unprecedented. Back in 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to have scribes write down everything. That takes a long time. It's tedious and very difficult to get books. We can get as many as we want. That's new. That's a new technology in the world, relatively new, that you have this high-speed printing and you can just order it up and it'll be shipped to you and then you can get it out. So now is the time to get out to the world as much as possible these literatures. Each one of them, Prabhupada said, is like a bomb. And it's a spiritual bomb that will go off and it will affect the world. So make no mistake about it, you are on the front line of preaching. You are doing the highest kind of work by sacrificing your energy to go out and make sure that the books go out into people's hands and into their lives. So, strong sadhana and practice speaking to the soul. And I'll tell you the other three laws of book distribution as the final part of this seminar. Normally we go more into each one of the laws, but I talked about strong sadhana as the first one. The second law of book distribution is get books. And the reason is you can't distribute books you don't have. It's one of the laws of thermodynamics. It's impossible. You can't distribute books you don't have. So get the books. Make sure that you have them wherever you go. Make sure you're stocked up with the right kind of books. There's an issue. There's people that speak all different kinds of languages where you live. Right? Make sure you accommodate them. Don't just say only people that speak Hindi or only people that speak the local language. Make sure you get books for everybody. Third law of book distribution. You repeat it after I say it. The more you show, the more you sell.
The more you show, the more you sell.
One more time.
The more you show, the more you sell.
Little jivas wandering around the universe looking for something. Jivas are marginal. That means they're open to subjection. That's why people advertise all over the world and they say, drink this, eat that, don't do this, do that. And when jiva looks at it, he does it. Because he's open for suggestions to test the shakti. So when you say, here, jiva, look at this, read this book. Jiva will go, okay. And when he reads the Bhagavad Gita, then his life becomes successful. The more you're able to make these visible, to talk about them, to show them, the more successful you'll be. And the final law of book distribution is you must organize. Because you could do a few books here or there by random or just by spontaneously doing it. But if you use all of the same organizing skills that people use to start corporations, to organize governments and everything else, then you can do unlimited numbers of books. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpa durvashcha kripa sadeva cha patitanam pavane yo vaishnave yo namaha shuru kalpa ki jai kune yatra ki jai end of your marathon ki jai go pray manande nitai gaura haripo 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 haripo